You're listening to the Paranormal UK Radio Network, the best in paranormal talk radio in the UK and around the world.
Welcome to Bigfoot
and the Bunny.
This is a couple's journey into the mysterious,
the unknown, and the paranormal.
I'm your host, Chris Carr.
And I'm your host, Kristen Johnson.
Together, we are Bigfoot and the Bunny. I hope you guys are doing good. We have a wonderful show for you. We have Jay Botrichin. Now, you know what? You asked me to say it properly, and now I screwed it up.
I think you did it right. Botrichin.
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 He's awesome. And he has two documentaries, which you can check out on Amazon Prime right now. Searching for Jay. And there's a part two to that as well. And I probably know it's Finding Jay. I'm sorry, but we're a wreck because we had to go to like two computers to even like get this live tonight. So thank you for hanging out with us. Let me just bring him right on. We'll get into the conversation. The movies are awesome. We checked them out.
Jay.
And Finding Jay. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're nervous wrecks because we're so late. We're like, oh, God, like we are perpetually late, but this is
late. Yes, that's how we do it. That's how we do it.
Searching for Jay. Like, really?
You know, I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. It was giving me another idea. Maybe a part three. No, we got to keep
on the hunt for Jay.
On the hunt for Jay, yeah.
Rather than me like babble through a bio, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes.
Oh boy, where do I begin? Back in 1967.
Back in
going way back. You know what? Hey, I'm going to date myself because I'm old. What did I do? I was one of those kids back in the 70s who would rather sit in the basement during the summer while everyone was out biking and playing, you know, baseball, softball. I'd be watching the Godzilla films or, you know, the Attack of the Giant Leeches or all those B-rated. Yeah, the creature features.
Creature double features. Did you have that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I always had a fascination with, you know, stuff like that. Always. It was always a supernatural. It wasn't just paranormal ghost or UFOs or anything like that. It was always just crazy stuff, you know. But honestly, it was probably in the late 70s is when I had my first UFO sighting was with my whole family. And I remember like it was yesterday. And the cool thing was is that my grandpa Kay, he was one of the early chapters of MUFON in Chicago. And so we had a lot to talk about, you know, grandpa and grandson together. And, you know, so that's kind of how I've always been. You know, he was always kind of like the Fox Mulder, you know, that version of it back in the 50s, 60s and stuff like that. And so I've always had that fascination with anything odd. You know, if I saw a UFO, I would go chase it as far as I could, thinking I was doing a good job. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, or early 2000s, when Ghost Hunters came out, it was like the only ghost show that was out there. And
information was like really hard,
popular.
Really hard to come by, like getting info. You know, like I used to read like the Hans Holzer books and things of that nature before that, but it didn't seem to be out to the masses until the Ghost Hunters, right?
Right. And the thing is, it's like, you know, the stuff you'd read in books, I think, were a little bit more believable because people were paying a little bit more attention into the subject matter that was put into the books. But when it became a movie, like I saw Mysterious Monsters back in the late 70s, and that was with Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, and the Yeti. Even though those two are the same, just in different parts of the world. And when I first saw Bigfoot way back then, honestly, as like 11-year-old, I was like, this could be a guy in a suit. I mean, that's how I was thinking about it. And so it wasn't until Later 2000s, me and my wife got married and had an East Coast honeymoon, kind of an amazing race along the East Coast. And we actually ended up in Salem during Halloween.
Oh, nice.
They had a lot of ghost investigations for outside. And I thought, let's just mingle around with these 50 people.
Oh, it's wonderful. You were there in October?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the best prime energy.
It's not that far from here. Love going.
It is. You know, I love what they did. First time I was ever in Salem. But, you know, we saw the trial of the witches, that thing going on. And it was the history, everything about it. And went on that little ghost tour. And I really thought, you know, when we get back, let's start a team. We got to think of acronyms. You know, I'm always like, you know, you got TAPS, the Atlantic.
Right. The Atlantic Paranormal Society.
Society, right. So I'm like, we became, I remember doing this one Sunday. Actually, I was sitting in church. I feel bad for it, but I was writing names down. And I came up with one called, Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators. And it was just me and my wife and a friend at the time. But then I'm like, well, we're not all of Wisconsin. We're in the southeast corner of Wisconsin. So I was like, SEWPI, Soupy. No, that didn't sound right. So we just went with WPI and started going to the local cemeteries just like anybody would, because I wasn't out trying to make a name for myself. I was out hunting the truth, is how I've always said it since day one.
That's so interesting, because you had an experience as a child, and we ask all our guests, basically, did you have any kind of childhood experiences? And you mentioned that you saw a UFO. I think you were 8 years old.
The UFO was, I think, around 11.
11? Okay.
Yeah. Well, 11 or 12. however, backing up a little bit, if you really want to talk about something weird, a couple of years prior to that, my next door neighbor and I went over to his house, and that was when Star Wars was really big and you can get the action figures.
Oh yeah. I have
And he had all of them, and the Millennium Falcon. And so I'd go over to his house, and I remember it had to have been on a weekend, I think, cause it was during the day, and he had this cool windowsill right by his window that you could actually just sit there and play with your toys or whatever. And we were both there playing with our Star Wars figures, and all of a sudden everything went black for about 5 seconds. The only way I can explain it is just close your eyes, not looking at light, close your eyes, that dark, and then it went back to light again. But the weird thing was, because this happened to me, but the weird thing was is my friend looked at me kind of bewildered and said, did everything just go dark for a couple seconds?
Oh, wow. So it was shared. Wow.
Yeah. So it was a shared blackout. And that was
bizarre.
That is odd.
Yeah. And I've never been able to explain it. And it's funny, because a couple of years ago, I lost contact with him like you do with childhood friends, but he kind of popped up on Facebook many years ago. And I remember messaging him and going, hey, Dave, I want to ask you something. Do you remember that one time? He knew everything. He still remembers it like it was yesterday. He goes, yeah, where everything went black. So the fact is, it really happened. What it was, I don't know, because you could say if somebody blacked out, you might be able to understand that it might be within that person's the brain, right?
Just yourself, yeah.
Right. Just yourself. It happened to both of us.
It happened to both. That's so weird.
So crazy.
That's interesting. So it's a shared experience.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that, you know, you would pursue this kind of thing later in life. It's almost like you mentioned the truth before. Like the people that have these childhood experiences, which is predominantly
98% of
all of our guests have had some sort of paranormal in one shape or form.
Under the umbrella of paranormal.
Yeah, you know, ufology, paranormal, ghosts, whatever it is, experience, and almost trying to prove it, and including ourselves. We're part of that.
It is, but then when you're starting to see it on TV, like Ghost Hunters, I'm thinking ratings. Nothing is this easy or this real. So therefore, you know, did I believe in ghosts? Yes. I mean, come on, everyone saw Ghostbusters, so ghosts aren't real.
Yeah. Ghosts on Demand, it's a little tricky.
The Slimer, right? They're real, but what's on TV, is that real? And I really, there's really no way to answer that unless you go out and find it yourself, period.
Experience That's, it yourself, yes.
Yeah, you have to, because you can read about it, you can watch documentaries about it, and you can just accept it. But, you know, my job is to encourage people to go out and find it, to go out and discover your truth, go out and find that. And while we were doing that with the ghost hunting, it turned into three people. Then I had a team of 10 that we were getting calls to do, you know, doing the surveillance in different businesses, different residents. Then it became more like a band, you know. It was almost like, you know, I was called Papa Bear on the team because I was the oldest. Met a lot of great people, made a lot of friends, but there was always a revolving door. There was always bitterness. And
it's drama. It's a lot of drama in teams.
Teams are tough.
Very tough.
Teams are tough because you have to manage all that. And I thought I was a good manager, but maybe I was just a pushover, some would say, but that's just my personality is let's get this done, but let's do it this way. Then you have the resistance or whatnot. Pretty much right around 2013 is the time I started diving a little bit more into cryptids, because I'm literally 15-minute drive from Bray Road in Elkhorn from my house.
Wow.
Yeah. So I definitely patrol that. You can't go out and investigate it because it's all privately owned farmland. Mm-hmm. You have to have respect for that. It's a public road, so drive it all you want, but have respect for all the farmers that are out there. Sure. But that's where I started. Now,
did you say, I'm sorry to interrupt, did you say Bray Road?
Bray Road.
Yeah. I know Linda Godfrey was in Finding Jay, and I was really interested in this. I love The Beast of Bray Road.
We both do.
And if you guys don't know, Finding Jay and Fighting Jay, I'm going to say part two. I think there's a better name for that.
Beyond the Kettle. Right.
Right now, yeah, you can watch these movies, and they're great.
It's behind the what? I'm sorry.
Beyond the Kettle, Finding Jay 2.
Okay,
thank you. And they're both on Prime, like you said. And I appreciate you watching it. And yeah, Linda, you know, God bless her soul.
She passed.
She was a dear friend of mine. Yeah. And it was tough because not only was she a friend, she was my mentor who kind of guided me to a point of investigation, because that's what she did. She investigated and she wrote about it. And so it was sad. And believe it or not, I'm still processing that she's not with us anymore. It's tough. And when I think about it, it gets emotional, but you know, I know that she'd want us to move on and keep searching for the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I apologize. I didn't realize she had passed.
Yeah. In late November. Yeah.
Oh, geez. Goodness.
I love the stuff about Bray Road and the werewolf. I love a good werewolf story.
Yes.
Or Bigfoot story.
I've only seen it once, but you know, it is one of those hard things because people want that evidence. They want video. They want photos. They don't just want stories. Or if they hear them, it's always secondhand. But one night coming home from the kettle, this was like really late or early morning, let's say 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere around there, we're driving and I was patrolling. That's what I call it. But you don't want to drive too slow because then you're too suspicious.
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to find that, you know, there's a 30 mile an hour through there. So I think I was doing about 18, which is kind of slow, but it was late at night. And as I'm driving, the guy I went out with in the kettle was actually looking at his camera, looking at the pictures he took from that day. And right to my left, for that one split second, it looked like almost what you would expect to see, a 7-foot, you know, bipedal wolf looking thing just looking up into the sky. And I just remember hitting my brakes because I was pretty confident we were in the car. I just hit the brakes. Actually, Sanjay in front kind of went forward. He's like, what's up? I put it in reverse. And I back up and just aim right out into the field. There's nothing there. Everything's been already harvested and everything. This was in April. So there was nothing out there for me to misidentify. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what it is if there's a tree, a branch, something, there was nothing. But whatever it was had to have moved super fast, I guess.
You said it was like wolf-like. So are you, is that like a dog man? Or
that's, well, you know, you could look at, all the descriptions of what a dog man is. I don't really see any pictures of it, but that's what it would look like because it was standing upright and it had arms kind of like bent up, looking up at the sky.
That's so weird.
So it was really definitely a creepy vibe, but it, you know, same time it was something.
Absolutely. Yeah, we absolutely agree with you.
Now, do you draw those kind of distinguishing characteristics with the cryptids? So if they're a dog or maybe ape based or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, with this, it's kind of like the gray aliens that everybody that can recall an abduction, but you see the grays everywhere. You see the, you know, the big head, the almond shaped eyes. Mm-hmm. So you can almost, because it's already just ingrained into us, we can tell you what an alien is. And I think it's the same with the dog man. Mm-hmm. Is everybody says it looks canine. It's standing up. It's almost like that suggestive thought. You know, like when somebody wants you to listen to an EVP, it's like, did you hear it? It said Bob. Let's do it again. Bob.
And it's there, right?
It's there because it's a suggestive thought. And I'm not knocking it. It's
it's very true.
It's true. We understand. Yeah.
Yeah, the way we hear, that's how come if I ever post anything, I don't use the proverbial red circle saying, here.
Look.
If it needs look,
circle, then it probably scroll by.
Shouldn't be shown.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, there's weird stuff out there. A couple of weeks ago, I saw what looked like the only thing I can say is it was cloaky. It was something that was the only way I can explain it. Not, well, you could say predator, but at least predator, you could see its head. It's what do you call it? It's feet, or, you know, the hands, the arms and everything. This, what I saw, reminded me of either Harry Potter or Frodo in Lord of the Rings throwing a cloak over. It was, I could almost see the oval shape of it, but it was near the base of a tree and it wasn't moving. My oldest daughter saw something down there. And so I'm looking down there. I have no idea where she's looking. In fact, she even had my phone and she's recording. And I don't know what she's aiming it at. I'm just looking in that direction. So I'm staying still and I'm looking right down where she's looking. And all of a sudden I see this shape, which I can only say is the woods, move behind a tree. And the reason why it moved behind the tree is because all the woods was distorted. And when it went behind the tree, there was no distortion in front of the tree. So that's how I got that. And that was beyond fascinating. You hear about these things out in the woods when people talk about it. And they say, well, it's Bigfoot cloaking. Well, I didn't see a Bigfoot cloak or uncloak. So I can't say what that is. But I've heard stories of people saying they have seen a cloaking type Bigfoot out there. Mm. But again, that secondhand story. So what is the truth? And really, that's what I'm trying to do while I'm out in the kettle, is I'm just trying to find the truth.
That's so interesting because you're bordering on like science fiction with, you know, cryptids. It's and, dope. You know, do you think there is some kind of futuristic or alien connection to them?
You know, I think, my opinion, I know whenever I hear myself talk about this, I sound like Jay is the master of all and he knows these answers. I don't. These are just my opinions, my speculations. But
and your experiences as well.
well, you know, I've got the experiences, but I still don't know what that is. Just like in when you watch my films, the stuff that happens where rocks are getting thrown at me, I don't know what threw them at me, but you know, you guys start thinking of the possibility, plausibility of what could do that while you're out there. Right. But, you know, at the same time, I have looked for ghosts, and I never said a ghost is a Patrick Swayze or Casper. Mm-hmm. You know, what if ghosts are living, breathing people just coming from a different time or parallel universe that's actually breaking our plane of existence for a short bit, so that when they're coming through our plane, we're looking at them as shadow people.
Oh, boy.
And when they're breaking through it, they see us as shadow people. I'm just saying, I think outside the box. I'm not saying one way or another, but it's like that in the woods too. Is it Bigfoot? Is it an alien? When my nephew was out there, he said, "Dude, that's an alien." You know. So who knows? I guess that's
when you get into cloaking. Right. I mean, I think we're talking about things that are, you know, it's a technology that we don't have, but, you know, is it just part of its natural abilities, or is it, you know, as I said, technology? We don't know. All of this field is a lot of theory without
right
any kind of, you know, or hypothesis, I should say, right?
Oh,
without a lot of data, but, you know, you have your experiences. You mentioned throwing stones, and I know that's in a movie, and I don't want to spoil the movie. I want people to go out and check it out, because it is awesome and it's cool. And there are
scenes
where there's rocks coming at you and that kind of thing. One person tells you that if they threw a rock at you, I think it was Linda, they meant to kill you. Another person says, like a hunter says, well, they might throw rocks to scare away rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Or get them out of their hiding spots.
100%.
And I, you leave it up for the viewers. Well,
and the thing is, I don't knock the naysayers or skeptics. And there's a reason for that, is because we were brought up of believing that monsters don't exist. They're only in movies. That's it. They're only in scary books or in Stephen King's mind. But what if we were being lied to our whole lives of things that are out there, that are out there, but they're, you know, covered up or just put into this stigma to where you talk about it and you're a loon? We'll make sure that if anybody brings up the word Bigfoot, you're just going to laugh at them. It's the butt end of a joke.
Right.
That's how it is. And that could be with anything. I saw an alien in my backyard. Jay's crazy. You know, a ghost walked up to me. Jay's crazy.
Right. When I first got involved in this stuff, I had that same kind of view of, like, you know, cryptids are just like bullshit and aliens. This doesn't happen because I didn't have any experience with it personally.
Right. But we were discussing before.
Exactly. And as we've gone along, like, and talked to enough people, I had our own experiences. There's something to this. This is real. There is something going on. I can't totally explain it, but it's happening.
Right.
You know, and that's the beauty of it. Lori's because right. We have plenty of stories too. And if we tell people that aren't into the stuff, even if they are, you know, sure.
It brings up a good point though, because when you're back in our day, when you were a child and something happened, you couldn't say anything. We discussed this a lot because people would label you as crazy, nuts. Don't talk to that little girl anymore. You know,
right.
Is something wrong with her? No, she's nuts. Don't go to the house anymore. You know, don't talk to the little boy. He's crazy. White coats are coming for you. That's basically what it was like.
It was way on the edge of what was acceptable.
Exactly.
You know, even, you know, like, that's incredible. Might have had some of the Patterson footage or something like that.
Yes.
Like way back in the day.
Yep.
And that's all you knew. And you knew Bigfoot was real and quicksand would kill you.
Yes.
Exactly.
Quicksand for us.
Is very dangerous.
Yeah. Cartoons and stuff.
But it turned out the quicksand wasn't so dangerous, but people are still seeing Sasquatch.
Yes.
Yeah, for a long time. And it's only because when that became mainstream, really after the Patterson film, but it's even been prior to that. And what about all the Native Americans, what their beliefs are, and what Sasquatch is?
Sure.
It goes way back for millennia. So
yes,
how long have they been here? And the bigger question is, what are they?
Exactly.
And honestly, that's why I'm out there. I've always been, I always say, just Jay. That's it. No more, no less. I like to fly below the radar. I never meant to put out these documentaries for a fame or a fortune or social media likes and loves. But because honestly, if all this went away, I would still be in the kettle hiking and trying not to prove it, because I know this is me. I know they are out there. Do I need to prove it with anything? You know, if people are like-minded people following me, believe what I'm doing, I say, well, that's good. I mean, if you do, but I could be the best used car salesman out there. You know, I could be pulling wool over everybody's eyes with everything I do. So that's why what I do is I just encourage people to go out and find your truth. Go out. If you're that interested in it, you're going to find it. That's what I believe. Whether it's real or not, you're going to find it if you seek the truth. And we should all be asking questions about everything, every single thing.
Yeah. Right. I love that. Yes.
Well, you're saying seek the truth. And again, it's going to stem from your childhood experience and is, again, why so many people are involved in this entire field, because it's not the money. You know, there's very few people that make money. In fact, I see a lot of people, you know, just like clawing at a table with like a few dollars on it, you know, but we all do it, you know, because we love it.
And the hows and whys or the wows and highs.
You want to understand it, like in your head. You want to make sense of the things that happened to you as a child.
Right.
And, you know, what is our reality? That's a huge question, you know.
That's just it. If Bigfoot's out there and I believe it, fine. Okay, what's the next step? Well, my step has always been about the truth. So I want to make contact with a Bigfoot and find the truth. And as crazy as that sounds, I really don't know where else my research would go with this.
That's right.
When I'm going out hiking, I am trying to be kind of one with nature. That's why you'll see that I'll bring my kids out. I'm not bringing my kids out for Bigfoot bait. And believe me, I got chastised after my first film with a lot of people saying, if you were my husband and the father of those kids, you would not be. Yeah. I'm like, come on. My kids are my world. And when I'm out there, you know, there's Mother Goose. I'm Father
Bear.
Papa Bear.
Papa Bear.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm watching them like a hawk, but I don't want them to be afraid of what nature is out there. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, Chum Bucket films, yeah. I think, or something, right?
My son. I started my studios back when he was a couple years old, and I was starting up my studios, which is videography or editing or printing. If you have any printing needs, definitely get a hold of me. But but I didn't want it to be. I didn't want it to just be J Graphics, okay? Mm. And then I was thinking of, I want to name it after my son, Blake. But that sounds, Blake Graphics or Blake Productions sounds just normal too. So he is, I named it after the little nickname I had for him. So when he was little, he started out as Bubba. They turned into Buddy, Bud. Then he turned into my pal. Then he turned into my little chum. Chumley is a friend. So he's my little chum. So then I started calling him Chum Bucket, then Buck Rogers, but that's another story. I backed up and called my studios Chum Bucket Studios.
That's awesome.
It's named after my son.
Yeah, I could see that, and it was really cute and touching as a father myself. You know, I totally got that. And I thought that was awesome and pretty heartwarming as well.
So, I love that you bring fantastic. Your kids out. We do, because, you know, no matter what anybody says, and everybody says that somebody does, at least, you know, we're the protectors. We understand nature and we want them. We need to teach them, like my mom taught me, and, you know, so forth. So they need that.
Right. And the thing is, they need that guidance to show them, but they also need that protection, because, again, they're my world. I would not let any harm come to them. And while they were enjoying being out there, I was on the red flag alert always. I'm always that way about that, because, you know, I'd be devastated if anything was to happen, and I'd never allow that to happen. But I'd feel worse as if I kept them inside because of fear. So, you know, I try to...
Exactly.
You weren't like putting them on a bear trap or anything. Like,
no, a big mouse trap.
None of that.
Yeah, it makes me laugh because we have friends at one of the paranormal societies, Ghost Bait, and their little girl wears a shirt, Ghost Bait. You know, it's really cute, but, you know, at the same time, people do question that. So.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of one of the investigations we had early on in 2007. Where somebody said, "You've got to come over. My house is haunted. I swear, when my toast popped up, it said boo was like written within the toast."
Come on.
And I'm like, wait a minute. ghost toast.
Jeez. I wanted to give a big shout out to Greg Koss as well, who's out
there. Greg.
Who passed your name along to us and how we were able to put this together.
Oh, that's so great. Greg, how you doing, Greg?
Greg is a great friend of ours, has several shows.
That's good. I met Greg several times at some Chicago ghost cons that I was involved in a lot of the ghost cons before the transition.
Yeah.
Now it's just, you know, now I no longer have a team. It's just me. And honestly, that part is always hard too, because if you really do know me, and my wife will probably just shake her head here, I don't like to sound narcissistic at all, but putting my name on things and putting them next to me, or even when you wrote on your thing, you know, meet the star of Finding Jay, you know, I'm like, it's somewhere, like I said, I like
to see that, right?
I saw it, and I'm just like, Zen. I'm just
Zen. Jay. I love it.
I'm a normal guy.
I'm just a normal guy. I'm just Jay. I'm your buddy from Wisconsin. Hello, Wisconsin.
Hello, Cincinnati. Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's great.
No, we love that. That's awesome.
So you started bringing your children as soon as they were born to...
I brought my wife out into the woods so she can give labor out in the woods.
Hey, there you go.
It was like Lucan. Do you remember that show Lucan back in the 70s, late 70s? No. I'm the only one. It's the Mandela effect. Nobody can remember it. I can't even find it on YouTube.
No, I don't remember the name either. No. Logan's Run, I never heard of that until, God, like 40
years. He was a little boy who got lost or kidnapped in the woods, and he was raised by the wolves. And then he started growing up, and he was like Mogwai from Jungle Book in the woods, but raised by wolves. It was kind of pretty cool. With my youngest son, I started bringing him out around four and a half. And then my daughter, as soon as she was about three and a half, four, then I would take her with my son. And then it was always teaching them the three rules of a good hike. And what's the number one? Safety first. And I'd have them repeat it. I have such cute videos. Safety first. You know.
You know,
Which is really good. And that goes with everything. But number two, know your surroundings. So don't just, when you're going out hiking or really going anywhere, know where you're at. Know where landmarks are. And it dives deeper than that. Then number three is have fun. So I've got three rules to a good successful hike. And if you go by those all the time, generally it's a good time. You know, when I'm out.
Maybe a rule about don't eat random plants.
Well, that would fall under safety first.
That's under safety first, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I always tell my children,
those are the wrong mushrooms.
Yeah.
Daddy, right now. Well,
yeah, exactly. Right. The people are going to blame that my kids are eating magic mushrooms out there. Hey, Dad, there's Bigfoot. There's the Hulk. There's Batman, you know.
Right. Speaking of the
80s. Just saw the Falcon.
Blue Freak now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I usually tell my kids that, but also respect. Respect everywhere. Respect everything.
Everything you do, especially going out in the woods. Again, we're going into nature. It's not that, you know, people would say if a mouse got in your house, you want it out. You creepy spider on your wall or dangling in front of you while you're watching TV. You want it out. When you're out in nature, though, that's their environment. That's their home. I'm not talking about Bigfoot's home. I'm saying the environment, the nature. And so kind of let it be. There's a big, you know, plant that's kind of hanging off the side of the plant. Just go around it.
Larry,
that's the way I look at it.
With random plants. Yes, you got to be careful of that.
That's awesome.
Never wipe your butt with random plants. So what you do is plan ahead. And, you know, you bring a little roll of toilet paper, some wipes. Actually, they're not like baby wipes. They're like they're called bro wipes or something.
Bro wipes.
Bro wipes.
Dude, that's it. Yes.
That's what it is. And it's cool because it's kind of a black, dark package.
But we get them.
Yeah, and they're big.
They're manly. They're manly.
They're very manly.
We're not going to pamper, you know.
You get a little dainty little thing.
No,
But the thing is, you think about those things ahead of time. So that's what I do.
Pack like
and, what's up, and here's a little tidbit for you. I do carry a clean pair of underwear with me. Because you just never know if you run into something and you turn into, you know, a gerbil. That's what I always say. Like, why do gerbils, like, you know, let the little brown tricks out, you know, when you pick them up? Because they're scared. And people say, if you're going to come face to face with one, what are you going to do? I'm like, I haven't really thought that far. Well, yes, I have. I'd probably fall on the ground and roll around in a fetal position, sucking my thumb. Mama. I really don't know, but always be prepared.
Absolutely. Pack the dude wipes and the extra pair of underwear, because that probably will happen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And these are tools that should be, on every...
in every backpack.
Yeah. Hunter's gear, for sure.
You know... not just, I think, any paranormal team's gear.
Yeah, for sure. I think that actually, you know, covers the whole...
The umbrella of
the paranormal.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You see some scary things. You see some things that you can't explain.
You said predator. We actually saw
one. Sometimes go out the window. That's right. We saw something that looked like a predator in a tree. What are you watching, a movie? This is ridiculous. I could make it out and just was kind of fuzzy and... was moving around, things were dropping out of the tree.
No, we weren't eating those mushrooms either.
Yeah,
it was very creepy.
You just brought up something, because my oldest daughter two weeks ago, saw exactly what you said, going from tree to tree.
Come on.
Yeah. See how you can start validating things when you start talking about it?
Yeah, you're the first person that really...
I saw
something like that.
All stories,
experience.
It's almost like folklore, watching a movie, and it has to be some kind of truth behind it. The idea had to stem from somewhere, from something, or some experience, most likely.
Our brains can't comprehend it.
We can't. And Steve Coles brings that up. He's the Squatch detective out of New York. Great guy, knows his stuff, been doing over 20 years, and, he does bring a part of that, of what we see. Can we really comprehend it or understand it? And is it the way our brain is seeing it?
Right.
That's a hard part, because I really couldn't tell you that my brain was freaking out when I'm sitting there looking at what looked like Frodo under a
hood, a cloak,
because there was a distortion around it. That's how I saw the ovalness other than that, when I'm looking at it, I felt like I was just looking at the woods. But then I could see the outer part of the, I don't even want to say shimmer. It just, as it moved, you could see that the stuff behind it was clear. If like that makes waffling. Any sense.
It does. It's waffling. And that's right. Mary Ann's calls it. It's, we label it that way. Yeah. Because it's the only word really that we could think of at the right. time, you know, but a waffling.
Right. That's right. Like
it's the same thing we saw. Yeah.
It's kind of like the cloaking you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And that got my mind ticking, and I'm sure Kristen's as well. When you mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, when you said predator, I'm like, oh, we saw something like that. And then your daughter did as well. So that
right. She's the one who saw it as we were. Well, we get out there sometimes like 5 in the morning when it's dark, especially now. I love it because it stays dark. And we just kind of kind of bring some camping chairs and just get off the beaten path and just kind of absorb. Well, when it starts getting lighter, you're stretching your legs, staying warm, because here in Wisconsin, it's who knows what degree. You know, it was almost 37 today, but the other day it was negative. It was negative 18 when I was driving to work the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like it goes back and forth. But anyway, so she's the one who saw from a distance something going from one tree to another. And I right away when she does it, I pick up my iPhone and I start recording because I want to know right away testimony. What'd you see?
Sure.
So she was saying it was there. And she said it jumped and it didn't look like it made it to the other tree. It just kind of just disappeared.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so we walked down there so she could show us what two trees. And as we were down there, that's when she looked even further down the path in the tree line and she saw it standing behind a tree. And I'm like, don't take your eyes off of it. Don't blink. I'm going to get my phone. I'm going to hit record. Don't even look at me handing it to you. Okay, I'm going to hand it to you. And I put it in her hand, and she's still focusing on it. And she recorded what she was looking at down where it was just blending kind of right behind this tree. But she said she kind of saw it move or blink or whatnot. But that's when I was looking down there. And that's when I saw my shape. Now, Ben, my 34-year-old nephew, was way to my left. And after I saw something, I'm walking further down there, is right after I did. He didn't want to say it because he likes to keep even keel. If it's not flesh and blood solid, he really doesn't want to say. But after he's hearing me and my daughter talking about it, he's like, yeah, he goes, I saw it. And it moved really fast on the ground at this point. Well, I didn't know exactly where he was talking about at that point. So, you know, of course, you go back out to the spot where this happened. And we did. We couldn't do it the next week, but we did it the following week. And we were out there. And where he showed me where his moved, I'm like, dude, not dude wipe, but dude, I saw this step behind a tree right there. So if you were to my left and it moved beyond the tree that way, I don't know for sure, but I think it was the same one, I would believe. Crazy.
Wow. That is crazy. Wow. It is crazy. It's not like you haven't found like a lot of data. You know, there were things like, and I don't want to, again, no spoilers, but there was a broken tree, right? And you found a similar tree and tried to break it yourself.
I did. I got wet.
Yeah, and it was way too big. I looked as soon as I saw the tree. I'm like, you're not going to break that tree.
I mean, you couldn't. The tree that we found, the bottom of the break was right about 7 foot. So if you do the physics of how you would snap a tree, it would have to be snapped a lot higher to be able to pull down at that point.
Yeah.
So that could have been pulled down at, again, speculation, the 9 or 10 foot mark, and then pulled down by force because it was still surrounded by trees everywhere. This was a fresh tree, and there was no other trees down. People would think that there was wind, or if the frost got to one, or if it was somewhat dead, it was still fresh.
Something, sure, you got to debunk until, yeah.
The only thing I can think of is if a person was to do it, was to bring out equipment and hook it up there and pull it down. But we were at the top of a kettle where it's surrounded by trees, so there's no way to even get equipment even near there without destroying a path.
Sure.
You know, all the way up there. So but that's the same place where I heard some wood docking and found those footprints, which is in my first film. And because I document everything, thank God. I mean, my kids and my wife, well, my wife's okay with it because she doesn't take a lot of pictures of that. I take pictures and videos of everything. So I just have like a couple 5-terabyte drives just pounded with pictures. So one day you could, you know, make a movie about us, you know, because I record everything.
Now, did you post or what your daughter, what you were filming, the predator type thing? Did you post that at all?
I did. I do also have a YouTube account under my same name. And I don't keep the clip on it long because it would be having to put a red circle around it with an arrow, you know, the Bozo Circus. You know, look right here.
It really needs a circle.
Yeah, but sometimes when you do think of it, people, you know, they don't
But what that is to me is you trying to say the EVP says bend.
Oh, exactly. Right.
That's what the red circle's all about. It's trying to convince people.
You know, in a visual context. Totally. And I agree. And sometimes, you know, pareidolia is very interesting to us because when I was first getting into this stuff, I was very critical of a lot of the data. As much as I knew it was real from my own experiences, I was just like, well, you know, that isn't it. Somebody's stomach, blah, blah, blah. And then we came come to find like nature sounds and things of that, nature, a lot of nature there could contribute to the actual words that were being said. And it's like the whole environment conspires to create what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting.
100% that, because that could be that, like you were saying about pareidolia.
It's not always cut and dry. And like,
it's never cut and dry. Yeah, and if my daughter is seeing something and it's standing completely still, which there's been those reports of pictures taken, again, you know, who knows what you're looking at is real or not. But that gets to the whole point of trying to prove this to the world. People already have their minds made up. And to me, I'm not going to try to do that. I'm going out and I'm going to seek my own truth. That's what I'm doing. And if you enjoy what I'm doing and that interesting, then get out there. You'll find it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we agree with you.
Yeah, you know it's true, and you're seeing the things, and trying to put together the data sometimes can be difficult.
Very difficult. And as soon as you cross-check all the data, you just get, you know, a thousand more questions.
Yes.
And it's the rabbit hole that will never end, as so it seems.
Actually, that's the term we use as well, bloody rabbit holes. It's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. With our strangest encounters, and they're more on the ghost side, I guess, with the paranormal, I mean, it's all kind of the same in a way. You couldn't record. You know, like when something would happen to us, we'd hear somebody yelling at us, for example, like I brought up this example a lot of times on the show, where we heard somebody yelling at us going, hello, you know, Kristen is literally standing there with a Tascam recorder, the headphones plugged in, and all she can hear is what's coming through the recorder. And it's not on the recorder.
Nope.
You know, but we both jumped in the air.
And it was very loud. Jumped. And there was nothing on the recorders.
How do you explain that? You know,
the thing is, you can't. We call one at the Ohio State Reformatory, and we were up in the warden's office because that's where the warden's wife, back in the late 40s, early 50s, was shot. And they brought her up to the 6th floor infirmary, and she died 3 days later. So two of my investigators, I wasn't present at the time, but you train, right? You're going out when you're doing ghost investigations to, if your stomach rumbles.
Yes.
Like, all right, that was me. You got to tag it. You got to
tell everybody.
Yeah, right. I just passed gas, you know. It was an accident.
There's an EVP in it, though.
Yeah, but what they caught, which is actually on my YouTube account, is the most bizarrest, I would have to say, Class A EVP ever that I've ever heard. So it's on there. You have to go back several years on my channel. You have to go through all the Bigfoot stuff, and you'll see Field Dog Man and UFOs, and all of a sudden, what's this one at Blake? And I don't know, just keep going and keep going way down until I started the investigation. But it's pretty cool.
Up in the front then, when you left to scroll back up.
Yep, exactly. And Chris, like you said, it's unexplainable. I have no idea where it's at or where it comes from.
And that's why it's paranormal, right? That's why
Absolutely.
You know, where physics goes out the window. You know,
and
things just don't make sense. Yeah. And they're like, how did that really happen? Did I just see that? That kind of thing. It exists.
Your YouTube channel, I'm sorry, is what? Because our audience missed.
It's Jay Bachochin.
Okay.
Just like my name right here. Just copy that down. Just like that in YouTube, and you'll find me.
Search for Jay Bachochin. I said it properly.
He did. It was so funny.
I want a brownie.
I saw you, and it's like, I think I'm gonna stop doing that. I think I freak people out. But
no, actually, we need that.
No, it was good. In normal circumstances, that would have been awesome. But where our computers were catching fire and things before the show,
and you're like,
here's Jay McEnroe. Oh, Jay McEnroe, you did a film called Star Wars. What's it about?
We got some guy on the show, and he knows Bigfoot.
I don't even know where he's from. He just popped up.
So it'll be good. Just stay right there.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I'm really sorry. Such a
weak moment.
That was terrible.
I'm looking forward to this.
Very unprofessional. We're extremely... sorry to our audience. Please,
we're not blaming it on ghosts.
No, it was a shitty computer, and I swear I'm sorry. It was terrible.
I don't know what happened.
Zen.
I don't know. Zen. Things happen.
But
things happen for a reason.
I suppose. But here we are, and we're having a great conversation.
Yes, it's great. I love it. I love talking about this.
Where do you see the field going? Where do you see the next step?
You know, it's
cryptozoology.
My opinion, honestly, if people don't stop fighting and put their pride aside, I think it could go a lot further than what it is. And that, honestly, that goes for every field. I've been in the ghost field. People there's so much cutthroat for the next person to try to get that evidence.
Yeah.
I actually have a cast that we casted while we're out the second time, me and my nephew. This is just a week ago, and we found a big print, a big footprint, and I didn't have my casting material, and went back and came back out late, casted it, didn't dry fast enough, so we covered it up, came back and extracted it. That's the Sunday night. And brought it home and waited for it to dry, then played Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park and got it all brushed off. It was my first cast. I've seen plenty of footprints out there. And at one point, I wasn't carrying cast, in the newbie or rookie mistake, you would say. You learn as you go.
Sure.
And then you have the material, but then it's just a surface print. So you can't cast it. So I have so many footprints documented, and I finally have one. Now, I could be biased and say, well, Bigfoot's out there. This is a big footprint, but I'm doing my due diligence on this because the truth is worth so much more than a trophy first cast that I've ever done. If this cast ended up saying, Nike, just do it on the bottom part of a boot.
Sure.
I would reveal that or any other way. So in this case, you know, I'm going to do a live reveal on Sunday, and I don't want to make it like really big, but I need a couple people that are experts in the field that look at casts.
Sure.
And this is the way I want to do it. So we can all learn from it and, find our truths together is how I like to say it.
That's wonderful.
That's excellent.
So you have a cryptozoologist coming on as well?
Yes. Steve Coles.
So, okay. Yep. Steve Coles, you mentioned him earlier. Yep. Okay.
So with that, but you know, your question was, where do you see the field going?
Yes.
If people can work this way, I still say that it's going to go leaps and bounds. And at one point or another, at some point, we're going to have more answers with it. If you kind of work together, and I know I've always heard that paranormal unity thing.
Yes.
Back when I was, I don't hear that at all in the Bigfoot
world. Unity.
A lot of people talk about it. Very few people actually practice it.
Well, exactly. It's like, we are Zen. We do paranormal unity. But you are stepping on our timeline for doing a live podcast. So get off so we can do it.
Right. Well,
There is that kind of element. And
we have that. We don't anymore. Competition. Yes.
It's kind of ridiculous.
And what you say all the time, though, excuse me for one second, is that we have, like, they find like they're their own entities with just the Bigfoot group. And then there's the ufology group.
So much
and then
division.
There's the, you know, ghost group. And we all need to go just like get in
work together.
Don't like these groups, but we all need to work together. Another group,
right? The magicians and the sorcerers and those people.
Yeah.
100%. So I think it could go places, and we can only go forward. We can only move up. In everything that we do, but it's a matter of time, right? I mean, will it happen in my lifetime, in your
the
lifetime?
Next generation.
I guess the question is, like, will the technology catch up,
you know,
with the explorers to actually get the thing, you know, in a way that we can see it clearly, and it's not a blurred picture and
right
that kind of thing.
But maybe it's always
there, blurry.
But what exactly? What I always saw those Keanu Reeves memes that said, "Whoa, you know," it was back from Bill and Ted. What if Bigfoot is just blurry, and that's why you never. The thing is, what if I don't throw anything out the door? You know, is it using a different frequency to be able to shift into camouflage, something that I learned from Ron Moorhead, who captured the Sierra sounds back in the 70s. And he wrote a book on the quantum Bigfoot. Very intriguing. It's actually my favorite Bigfoot book because it doesn't dive into a lot of times. As soon as you say quantum or cloaking, it turns so many people that are in this field off, because now you're taking away the flesh and blood.
They don't understand. They don't really get it.
Right. Well, they don't understand it. But the thing is, how come it can't be flesh and blood and have special attributes?
Exactly. Manifest itself some other part. Right.
It could have two of them. Beyond the Kettle, Finding J2, you're going to see where I actually capture a thermal image that's huge, peeking behind a tree. And when it decides to finally go away, a ball of light right in front of the three of us just cascades right over to us into the darkness. And as soon as you can see the light anymore, a loud breaking through trees. At that point, 2020, I'm like, wait, did this flesh and blood Bigfoot, that's, I believe, what it was after we did the analysis after, manifest into an orb of light? That's crazy.
Yeah.
But then the light got away from us, and then you just heard like a bulldozer going through the woods. And I'm like, either, well, what if Bigfoot's just playing catch with a ball? You know, that's all they were doing. There's so many possibilities that I don't know what it is, but because I think outside the box, it gives me more of an idea of what to say. Is that possible? You know, is it plausible? And
absolutely.
And that's where I'm trying to go with it.
Yeah. Laurie says Bigfoot does cloak. And you know, maybe he does. Maybe there are technologies there that are just natural. You know, just like.
But what if? What if? But that's what I'm saying. People always think of technology because of the movie The Predator. What if these people, and I'm going to call them Bigfoot people, an ancient people, that separated themselves away from any type of technology. Learned, like I say, that little boy Lucan from the 70s show, used every bit of the environment and everything that was given to them as their advantage out in the woods. Therefore, could we, as people today, or can we do telekinesis or telepathy, or would we be stronger by not eating all this processed food and having to survive outdoors and just over thousands of years living that way? Would they, the Bigfoot people, be able to adapt and to be able to, well, I was saying, like telepathy, right? Mm-hmm. But what about, we're going to use a Star Wars reference, a Bigfoot standing right there off a trail and you're walking by and the Bigfoot's like, this is not the Bigfoot you're looking for. We're weak-minded. We can't see it, but it's not technology. Right. It's more mind over
consciousness.
Matter. Consciousness, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Exactly.
It is consciousness. We love that. The way you interpret that.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's possible. How do they rummage through the woods and they're supposed to be 600, 800, 1,000 pounds without making a sound, yet a squirrel or chipmunk could go through the leaves and sound like a rhinoceros if it's quiet.
Right.
So it's like, how is that possible?
How is it possible?
Are they hanging on trees? Are they levitating just off the ground and not making any? Think outside the box. The possibilities are out there.
That's right. Right.
And this is kind of what they would want us to think, right? Because we would be a predator in a way.
I would think so, for sure.
Yeah, the way you said they separated themselves like millennia ago, and I like that. That's really good.
Yeah.
Some questions from our audience.
Yeah,
Emery Long says, do you think it only allows certain people to see it?
Absolutely. And again, this is me. I'm not an expert. I only play one on TV. I'm just joking. I'm not an expert. These are just my opinions, but I do believe that that's the case because I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm always the X factor, but I always bring out different people with me, and with different people, different encounters or activity happens that's unexplainable. And there are some that are just downright maybe closed off to it, or they have an opportunistic
view.
Or of like, I want to see this Bigfoot because I'm going to capture it. And then we're going to exploit it and I will get rich and famous off that. Okay. So I keep going back to, do they know us? Do they know us, our intentions? As a dog can sense your fear, could these also sense your confidence or your intentions of being out there? And I say that is that possibility. And with that being said, I take note of that. After 10 years and working with so many different people, I know when something could happen and with who. So it's the intentions. And I always think of it as, okay, I'm going to use a Disney reference here, Aladdin, the Cave of Wonders with the diamond and the Roth. It can kind of sense, and I know I'm getting wooed way out there.
No, you're not. We love these references. I mean, the kids grew up with all the
that's what I'm saying. So I think it's our intentions of what it is. Now, I've been making documentaries about it. What does that say about me? Being out in the woods, is that being opportunistic, or is that it's me trying to educate of saying there is something out there? So if you go to find your truth, whatever part of the country you're in, that you can understand where I'm coming from in Wisconsin, that maybe in time, if enough people were doing this, that we would further our studies. Like you were saying, where does the research go from here? Does it have to go with technology, or does it have to do with more people going out there and discovering it?
Maybe we already have the technology and it's just their intent.
I believe so. Yeah.
That's the intention.
That's great. Yeah. So you found
awesome film.
Clearly from what you were saying that if somebody was out to exploit Sasquatch or exploit any of these things or didn't believe, which is another factor, right? That's a whole other side.
Of course.
At all. They wouldn't necessarily see the creature.
Correct. 100%.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's great. That's awesome. Really interesting. So it seems like, you know, these cryptids may be more approachable than we think. It really depends maybe on our intent.
It's what I believe, because people say if I ever, you know, caught that proverbial shot, they could be really convincing. People would still look at that and say, you know, it's CGI or it's not real. And you're going to get that all the time from the naysayers. Therefore, you're not trying to prove it. And if I'm not trying to prove it, I'm not exploiting. I kind of walk myself backwards of what my overall intentions are. And it's always been a personal quest for me. I honestly would love the best audio, the best video, so I could bring it back to my wife at home saying, your husband is not crazy. Look, look, she supports me. And I love that. Yeah. She supports everything I do. She believes that I believe. But, you know, there's always going to be that bubble of hers of saying this is monsters don't exist. Bigfoot doesn't exist. But she's going to support me because she's my wife. And,
of course, yeah.
And I think, you know, that's all you can have, right? Behind every good man is a good woman. And
that's right.
That's right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And the thing is, so, you know, so it's always been, what are my intentions? I'd love to show that to my wife and anybody else who I'm close with on this so that we could discover the truth together, and hoping that wherever they're at, they're able to do the same thing. So over time, maybe there's a commonality between people and Bigfoot people out there, Sasquatch people. Yeah, you can say the forest people, but I'm not one of those guys that goes out and has a wooden flute.
That too, though.
I mean, well, the thing is, and I joke about that because there's a lot of people that see all the nature. People are just like, oh, look at the rain. You know, they're one with the nature. I'm not knocking that at all. I'm just saying.
You're saying it a different way.
In a different way, because if you are, I never say I'm squatching. I never say I'm a Bigfoot hunter. I say I'm a hiker and I'm a truth-seeking investigator.
Yeah. I hate the best way to put the hunter part of it.
Yeah.
I don't like it in ghost hunter. I never did.
Don't like the ghost part either.
Spirits. Don't like hunting. We don't hunt anything. We're not going to kill a ghost. They're already dead.
We have mad respect for them.
But are they? Are they flesh and blood coming through our plane? They could be.
Yeah.
Like you and I.
Jack Kilowatt has a question out there. He says, would Jay agree that part of all these phenomena, like ghosts, UFOs, spirits, Bigfoot, etc., that it is not the case that seeing is believing, but rather that believing before seeing?
Love that. Love that, Jack. I say that about God, too, when people say, you know what? Jesus didn't die for us on the cross for our sins, right? But you know what? It's not a matter of going back and saying, you know, seeing is believing, but believe it, then you will see it. And I use that my whole life. You'll always notice I will always use the Bible or a biblical reference, because it's my cornerstone, and it always will be. And it goes like that with everything I do in my life, not just the woods or anything like that, but it's true.
That's your religion, that's your culture, and it's good.
Yeah, it's my faith, and I look at that as when I go out into the woods as well, is that you've got to kind of open, like I said, think outside the box. And once you think outside the box, I think that's when you'll start to believe it, and then all of a sudden, you know, you could see it.
That's great. Irene Takura says, do you think Bigfoot exists only in certain countries because we don't have one here? And it's really strange. And she's in Tokyo, Japan.
I thought they have Japan?
Well, again, people will ask me a lot about Bigfoot worldwide. You got to remember one thing. I'm just like anybody else who follows Bigfoot stories or encounters across the globe. But right now, the only thing I could give you guarantees on, from what I know, is in Southeast Wisconsin, because that's the only place that I'm seeking my answers right now. Now, I could, you know, surmise that however big populations are and these Bigfoot people are going to be, you know, live more into the woods. They've been seen outside of the woods too. It's not that they're just like live on the West Coast or anything. If they're here in Wisconsin, which is really minute compared to, say, upper Michigan or Ohio or Pennsylvania, or Georgia, why in Wisconsin? So why not in Tokyo? Well, I would have to surmise probably the population or
maybe an urban factor. There's so much city built up,
But that's always a possibility as well. And again, it's so hard because I don't want to sound like I'm a know-it-all and I'm an expert that I would understand it. I'm using my common sense of saying there's probably a reason why they wouldn't be, or if they are, they're just not around where you're at, and there's not enough people out there to encounter. You got to remember,
it's
a rural factor, right?
Well, yeah, but I was gonna say, back in the day, if you think about it, how many people were here in Wisconsin 200 years ago, 300 years ago? So now you could have everything roaming, but nobody being able to report about it, even the Native Americans, if they weren't everywhere. So again, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody was around to hear it, does it make a sound? And I think it goes the same thing with the population and the areas. If there's not enough people around there, how come there's no reports here?
Right. It's
the lack of population.
Right. Because she said she lives in the mountains. The forest.
Well, she mentions the mountains and the ghosts. And then they have the mountain regions. And that's true.
Forest there, yeah.
You know, well, when I think of Tokyo in particular, I think of like a very busy city and stacked buildings and that kind of thing.
But okay, so if you have something out there, you could say you have mountains and a lot of ghosts. Now, I could say, are you talking about the ghosts in the mountains? Because if we're talking about the same type of ghost, then I'm talking about the same Frodo Harry Potter cloak thing I just saw 2 weeks ago here in Wisconsin. That if you weren't into Bigfoot and you were just into ghosts, you would swear you just saw a ghost. If you were just into aliens, you would swear you just saw a gray alien materializing.
Right. Exactly.
That kind of goes back to the...
Yeah, it's a whole perception.
The EVP, right?
Right,
exactly. And we say, okay, it said this.
Right.
So if Bob, I tell you it said this, you're going to hear that. But if you were hearing it fresh without any kind of outside influence, you might hear something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do play clips like that because I think that's interesting. I think it's called apophenia pareidolia. And it's fascinating. You know, it's kind of interesting how the mind can be influenced so easily.
Yeah.
With these sort of things.
Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. So are you working on Finding Jay Part 3?
Yeah, make sure my wife's not listening. No. you understand, when I get involved in this and how long it takes me, it's now I'm balancing, you know, my day job. I'm balancing family and being is involved in all that, but then also being involved here creating the story. And that it takes a lot out. It's almost like after my first one was done, my first Finding Jay film, I actually just wanted to drop the mic and say, I told the story. I'm never doing this again. There it is. I'm walking away.
So, but
I'm also,
but then I started, and it didn't have anything to do with making a sequel to that. It was all the lights and everything I didn't mention in the first film that I'm like, I'm not done telling this story yet because of this capture. You know, does that make sense? Can we tie it all into the first one? A lot of people watching this film, both of them, said my first film was like me leading people up to the door, and my second film, I'm shoving them through the door. So the third one, we'll see what happens there. See if there's a big rabbit hole at the end of it. But I'm not about trying to just create another documentary for, you know, if this one didn't do as well as the first one, or this one did great, can I do better? No. You know, again, it's about the truth. It's about the story. And I'll do that when the time is right. So, but yeah. I've still got so much more to tell, but you know, that it still might not be for another year or two out.
Still, excellent. That's wonderful.
Excellent. That, I love that you're chasing the truth.
Yes.
And your intentions are good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I try, you know.
Well, not all our intentions are good. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm glad.
Not all of them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oops. Damn. You know. This has been great.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us tonight on Dark Horse Paranormal Podcast. We'd love talking to you. We'd love to have you back and talk some more. There are lots of things that
I have questions up the yin yang
that we want to cover. And yeah, I love you're right on the cusp of like tying all this stuff together.
Yes.
That fascinates us.
Yes,
and fascinates our audience. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the invite, and definitely anytime you need me, just give me at least give me a 48-hour heads up, and I'll be here. Because if not, I'll be doing something else at that point. It's like I'm always busy doing something. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be doing something on my cast. And if I wasn't doing something on my cast, I'd be going through my body cam footage or whatever. I'm always just busy, busy, busy.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And I just want to plug you again. We can find you all at.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My website, and I try to keep that as updated as somebody would Facebook or whatever their social media flavor is. It's jbachochin.com. Simple. My email is info@jbachochin.com. But again, on my website, you'll be able to see that my two films are available on Blu-rays under the store for purchase. And
nice.
Yeah. And if
they won't be on Prime forever. That's always,
right.
That's
like right.
A temporary. Well, that's one of the things I tell people. I'm a collector. I guess I'm old school. And if I really want something, I don't want to just buy a digital copy of it. I'd rather have the copy of it.
Yeah.
For that reason. Because you don't know when Amazon Prime goes down.
Who, yeah, exactly.
We don't know.
The cloud. It's gone.
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
he buys movies on Vudu, and I'm like, you don't know when that's going to crap out and stuff.
Yeah, just but I used to also buy comics, right? And if you want the comic, you don't want a digital rendition of it.
Well, exactly. Or, you know, again, if you're not on Prime, I'm on Paraflix, which is like Netflix.
Oh, that's awesome. We have that. Yeah.
Oh, good, good. So I'm on there.
And Paraflix, then, you can get a Roku, guys.
And then Vimeo.
Oh, okay, Vimeo.
And Vimeo.
Vimeo. And that's for the people like across the pond. Some can see it. Like I know Canada can't, but you could get Vimeo in Canada. So you can get to me that way. You can get a Paraflix in Canada and across there. So yeah, you know, and Prime is, you know, got a larger scale, I guess, of everybody watching it, but it's not like Paraflix, which is really, I think, kind of cool because everything is paranormal there.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
It's awesome.
They're awesome.
Yeah, that's great, man. Well, thank you so again. Much.
Thank you.
Stick around. You. We're just going to wrap up and close out the show.
Thank you to our audience. Everybody was wonderful.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you on Saturday. I'm not sure what we're doing Saturday.
I'm not sure either.
It'll be a surprise, and it'll be fun.
To all of us.
So join us then. Until then, thank you so much for joining us. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.